Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Psalms. It is Psalm 8, which is a hymn of praise to God for the wonder of creation. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and infants, you have founded a bulwark because of your foes to silence the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals that you care for them? Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the work of your hands. You have put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
From the book of Genesis, the biblical account of God creating the heavens and the earth. After the first 5 days, listen to this. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind and the cattle of every kind and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over all the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. God said, see, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the air and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God saw everything that God had made, and indeed it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. The word of the Lord. In this reading from Genesis, you may have noticed that both the living creatures of every kind and humankind were made on the culminating day of creation, the sixth day. On the last day, before God rested from all the work that God had done in creation, God made the land animals, creeping things, wild beasts, and cattle. Then God made humankind in the image of God's self and gave them male and female work to do, to be stewards over all of creation, the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the animals that move across the earth, and everything that has the breath of life. According to this holy script, we are intricately bound to the created order. And having been made in the image of God who created all this goodness, we have work to do. In the rhythm of this ancient hymn, which opens the whole Bible, this refrain to the glory of God's creation is repeated on days 1 and 2, on days 3, 4, and 5. God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. God saw that it was good. Then on the culminating 6th day, when God created human partners to help care for all that goodness, God saw that it was very good. Written during the Babylonian exile, around the same time that many of the Psalms were written, the opening chapters of Genesis are not supposed to be scientific explanation, but theological prologue for the rest of the Bible. And this first chapter is a soaring and rhythmic affirmation of faith. In the beginning, there was God. God created order out of chaos, light out of darkness. God created this earth and all that is in it, interrelated, interdependent, and God saved the best part for last. The human creature came into being, bearing the resemblance of God in order to help care for all this goodness. And an exclamation point is added to the 6th and last day with, God saw that it was very good. What do you imagine that God sees now? In 2017, just last year, scientists at the University of Bergen retrieved 30 plastic bags from the stomach of a dead goose-beaked whale found on Norway's west coast. The United Nations Environment Program states that an estimated 8 million tons of plastic waste find their way into the planet's ocean every year. 8 million tons. More than 700 species encounter marine litter. With the Arctic ice shelf that is poised to break off if global warming continues at its current rate, low-lying populations from Bangladesh to Boko Raton are at risk of going underwater. It is estimated that 4,400 people a day die from China's notoriously polluted air. And much of it is due to coal-burning industries which manufacture the cheap stuff that is sent abroad, including to us in the United States. The World Health Organization actually estimates that 95% of all human beings are at risk of breathing unsafe air. Rapidly changing patterns of land use have depleted topsoil, decreased access to clean drinking water, and upset nature's balance so drastically that all manner of living things are becoming extinct each year. We know the statistics, and we can feel helpless when we hear how the Amazon River basin, known as the lungs of the earth, producing oxygen to help us breathe, is increasingly contaminated by oil spills so far back in the jungle we hardly notice. We can feel helpless when we see the impact of changing weather patterns near and far that are being fueled by global warming. We can feel helpless when we know we contribute to the deterioration of the environment and it seems so huge, we don't know where to begin to make the changes we so desperately need. But as people of faith, we have a God-given job to do. And it is critical that we hold together these matters of science with our biblical calling to be partners with God in the stewardship of the earth. We have to get over feeling helpless and learn how to get on with the work of caring for this creation. Mary Rose O'Reilly was a college English professor who took some time off from her academic pursuits to live for a while in the physically demanding work of sheep farming. Her memoir about it has a captivating title, The Barn at the End of the World, The Apprenticeship of a Quaker Buddhist Shepherd. O'Reilly tells a story about a young farmer she knows who has a niche market providing lambs to upscale restaurants. He is determined to raise his children with a full and generous understanding of the barnyard from life to death. He hated to think that his children might grow up with the idea that meat sprang, cleaned, cut, and shrink-wrapped into the supermarket case. So in the interest of education, he led his 5-year-old to participate in the full life cycle of one sturdy lamb named Jimmy, from birth to lamb chop. From time to time, the little boy was reminded that Jimmy would ultimately go to the butcher. The day came. The boy said goodbye. And a week later, the family went back to retrieve the packaged frozen lamb. The boy seemed to follow all of his dad's explanation until, as they drove the meat from the butcher's locker home to the farm, the boy suddenly exclaimed, "Dad, we forgot Jimmy." Have we become like God's 5-year-old? We try to be educated about the environmental crisis, but we cannot get our heads around how our own actions have devastating consequences, how for millions of people around the world, our care for the creation has become a matter of life and death. Into our uncertainty, this ancient biblical text calls us to become better partners with God in caring for creation and offers us powerful theological tools for taking up the responsibility with a greater sense of urgency. In our scripture reading, God makes the human being in God's image. In the image of God, male and female, God created them. What that means, according to biblical scholars, is something about us mirrors God. When the text goes on to say that we humans are to rule over the creatures of the land, water, and air, and subdue the land made by God, those powerful images must always be employed in the bright light of the reality that we act in the image of God, as mirrors of God, not as free agents of our own desires. How do we begin to know this earth? And so regain that reverence for life that leads to change, asks Elizabeth Canham. The first step in this process is to recognize that we are an integral part of all that is. Not superior beings for whom everything else is there to be used. We are woven into the web of the universe. And nothing we do is without significance to the rest. For far too often and for far too long, we human beings have played with the world as if it could always sustain whatever we decided to do. We are now learning that such activity is no longer sustainable. This is the upshot of the crisis we now face. We have believed that human beings are the center of creation, and we have, in fact, dominated the non-human creation, the land and all its gifts, and the result has been a disaster. Overfished seas, threatened bees and birds, withering drought, fouled air. It is time for us, past time, to end this foolish and incorrect notion that it is our world. It is and always has been God's world. We are partners with God and God's creation. We need a conversion to a new way of thinking about the environment, about this good creation. As scholar John Holpert put it, the world, the cosmos, is not our oyster. Rather, it is God's pearl. And we are assigned the twin task of serving this pearl and protecting it from all abuse, especially abuse from ourselves. We can delay no longer. The lives of our children and of our grandchildren are at stake. So how can we be more responsive to this holy calling to care for the goodness of creation? In Genesis 1, the Bible says God would have us receive the earth and all that is in it as sacred gift. I have given it to you, God says, to the human creature on the sixth day. And what do we do with a gift that is fragile and precious? We treasure it. We treat it with kindness. We advocate for its protection. It helps to know that if you recycle half your household waste, you can save 2,400 pounds of carbon dioxide a year. It helps to know that if you fill a plastic water bottle up 1/4 with oil, that's how much oil it takes to make and transport that one plastic bottle. We don't have to give up drinking water, but we can drink less of it from disposable bottles. It helps to know that producing 2 pounds of meat requires the same amount of energy as lighting a 100-watt bulb for 3 weeks. And cows produce the second most significant greenhouse gas to fossil fuels. We don't have to give up eating meat, but we don't have to eat as much of it as we do. We are being called in our time to broader, deeper knowledge. Treasuring the earth and all that is in it as a precious gift from God can go a long way to help us make significant lifestyle changes to honor the gift that we have received, as well as to honor the giver. These 3 weeks, our Environmental Justice Committee has sponsored 3 films at the Bryn Mawr Film Institute to help folks better understand our calling as stewards of this good earth. The last of the 3, this coming Wednesday evening, is about the poet, farmer, and environmentalist Wendell Berry. Wendell Berry has written, "We have lived our lives by the assumption that what is good for us would be good for the world. We have been wrong. We must change our lives so that it will be possible to live the contrary assumption that what is good for the world is also good for us. And that requires that we make the effort to know the world and to learn what is good for it." Friends, you do not want to miss this afternoon's concert with intergenerational choirs, jazz musicians, a video to the glory of God's creation, and a soundtrack of animals joining human voices. It will be very good. It will also show and enact and sing how we begin to be better partners with God by cherishing the gift to love and care for the goodness of creation. For God gave us a job to do. And on that culminating day of creation, when human beings came to life, God said that it was very good. May it be very good again by our treasuring what God has created and given us as gift. May it be very good again. Amen.